Well, I'm not sure why y'all have children, but preachers have children so that they have sermon illustrations. So he's like, uh-oh. When he was really tiny, we lived in Korea, and we had a gas stove. You know where this story's going already, right? And we told him, don't touch the stove, right? Don't touch the stove. I mean, he was so little that he had to reach up like this to get on top of the stove. It took his whole stretch to get up onto that stove, to get up there. And so we kept telling him, don't touch the stove, don't touch the stove. And, you know, good things came off of that stove, though, right? Mom was reaching up there all the time, so what's the deal, you know? So one day he managed to get up there and grab that thing when we weren't right there. And you know how it is when things really are a shock. You just kind of are like, you don't know what to do. And the poor little guy, I'm still thinking of you as this tall, you know. He grabbed onto this thing and was so shocked, he didn't realize let go. And so he just hung on to that, you know, those little parts where the pan sits, right? The actual stove itself was off, but those metal pieces where the pan sits on are still really, really hot. So he hung on to that baby, and eventually he realized, okay, I gotta do something, you know? And so he let go, but he let go with such force, he let go like this. And what we never realized is that as he let go like this, his fingers came up underneath another one of those metal pieces, and he burned the backside of his fingers too. And so it was burned on this side and burned on this side too, and we had no clue about the backside, of course. The front side was very evident, but the backside you couldn't tell at first anyway. And so Patty always kept aloe vera handy, and so she ran over and broke off a chunk of this stuff and smeared it all over the front of his hand and took care of him and bandaged him, and I think you don't even have scars today, do you? No, see, it's all good. And trust me, he's a smart guy. He never touched that stove again, man. Never. He learned in one go, that's not what you do. You don't do those things. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. Sometimes when we read the Bible, all we get out of it is, don't touch the stove, don't touch the stove, don't touch the stove, don't kill, don't steal, don't lie, don't. And we look at this and we wonder, is this what I bought into? Is this what it's really all about? After we have finished with our prophecies decoded, many have made new decisions for the Lord. We want to follow the Lord always. And then sometimes we hear, or maybe we read, or we get a book, or someone tells us, don't. And we wonder, wow, is this what it's all about? Is it just all about don't? Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Why is he beseeching them? What's the cause? What's at the bottom of it? What is driving him to beseech them in this manner? And it says, by the mercies of God. You see, it is God's mercy that is the root cause of why we follow the Lord. He's been good to us. God has been so good to us that we want to follow him. Now, we could have said to our son, hey, buddy, knock yourself out. Go ahead. Touch stove, see what happens. But we wanted to spare him that. We wanted to be good to him. And when he did touch it, we didn't just go, well, serves you right. That'll teach you. Right? No way. We're going to take care of him. We're going to help him out. Even when he did what he wasn't supposed to do. We're going to love him anyway. Right? That's what we do as parents. It's how we behave. And so the same is true of God. God loves us so much. He has done so much for us. He is the cause of our because for keeping what he has told us to do. God is the cause for that. Think about all that God has done. What did he say in Genesis 1:31 when creation was all finished, when everything was done, what did he say about it? Behold, it was very good. That's right. When it was all done, each day was good, good, good. And when he got it all done, it was very good. God saw that it was very good. What he had created was very good. He created us perfect. We came from the Creator's hand, very good. God loved us that much. He didn't create us as worms and say, now come on, now evolve. Right? He created us straight from his own hand, very good. Okay, things happened along the way. We touched the stove, right? Did God drop us then? I wanted to say like a hot potato, but I won't go there. He loves us anyway. He continues to do good for us. Psalm 50, verse 15, call upon me in the day of trouble and I will deliver you, God says. God has good things for you and I. He wants to bless us. He wants to do good for us. In Philippians 4:19, a very familiar verse to you, I think. And my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. He wants to supply our needs. He has riches. He has glory. He wants to share with us. God has been so good to us. He has blessed us. He is the cause of all the good things. And even here in the book of Romans, we have the best of gifts that God has done, his greatest mercy in Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. God loves us that much that even when we were sinners, even when we were enemies, the word says, Christ died for us. Can you imagine mercies greater than those? Can you imagine any reason better than that to obey what God has asked? It's beautiful what God has done. And so now, in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, he gives us his counsel. He's given us the cause. He's given us the reason why we should love and serve him. And then he says in verse 1, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I want you to notice here that we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice. Imagine that I had asked my wife to marry me and she had said, well, I want to get married, but I want to do my own thing first. Come back in about 65 years. And when I need somebody to take care of me, then we can get married. What? But sometimes we're tempted to do that with God. We don't want to spend our best years on God. We have things we want to do. We've got our agenda. We have things that need to be done. Our own agenda. And so we want to put God off. We want to not really give Him our whole lives right up front. And so we wait until, you know, my knee's busted and my back hurts and, you know, stuff's happening and I can't do as much as I used to do. And then we say, yeah, I probably should come back to God. Well, it's still good to come to God, of course, right? But God wants a living sacrifice. That's why He has us listening to His word today, so that we can hear today while we still have life and breath. We love to point to the thief on the cross and say, I'm cool, I'll wait, I'm good. But God wants you now, before you're on the cross, to give your life now as an offering to Him. Dead sacrifices are great, but God wants a living sacrifice of your whole self today. That's what He's looking for now. And then it says, a living sacrifice, and then it says, holy, 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 set apart for a purpose. We're set apart. Holy. In view of all that God has done for us, in view of the cause of His goodness to us, shouldn't we accept this counsel to follow Him? Shouldn't we be looking at this counsel, thinking about it, making it happen in our lives? We've committed, as we've gone through our prophecy seminar, to following the Lord. Now we keep that commitment in the way we live for God. And so we can ask ourselves, how can I honor God? How can I return gratitude to Him for the cause of His mercies to me? If I go to my refrigerator, will I find things that aren't honoring God? If I go to my DVD cabinet, will I find things that wouldn't honor God? In my decisions, am I honoring God? Am I listening to this counsel of bringing myself to Him as a living sacrifice, holy? Or is it that I think maybe, you know, Sabbath morning's good, I'm doing good here? Is that how it works? Or are we really serious about this? Was Jesus serious when He got up on that cross? He was pretty serious, wasn't He? Should we be less serious in our reply? Can we be holy? What I wear, can that honor God? The things that I wear, the things that come out of my mouth, can that honor God? Can I offer sacrifices with the words that I speak? And sacrifice sometimes means not saying things that guy who just cut me off really needs to hear. Right? And I make the sacrifice of not saying it, right? Thank you. Absolutely. We can make those sacrifices today, living sacrifices. You see, it's almost, in some ways, a whole lot easier to run out in front of a truck to push a little kid out of the way because it's a split-second decision in it. But this whole idea of a living sacrifice over years, wow, you know, that's, whew, man, you know, that means like not only today have I got to make that decision, but tomorrow too. And then I got to think about it the next day too. And man, this could get old. Really? A living sacrifice, holy, acceptable. Holy, acceptable. What does God accept? What does God accept? Okay, God, I know you said I got to give tithes, so here it is. Are you happy now? Is that gonna work for him? He's looking for a little more, isn't he? Looking for your heart to be in this. This isn't about just do's and don'ts, is it? This is about what Jesus has done for you. The one who made you perfect. The one who gave you everything. The one who says, call on me when you're in trouble and I will help you. The one who says that I will supply all of your needs in Christ Jesus. The one who says while we were yet sinners, he died for us. This is the one who asks for us to give back to him the life he has given us. And so he is the cause of this counsel that we've heard. But, you know, the Lord goes a little bit deeper. You see, he understands that we have at least some reasoning capacity. It's not like a toddler who can't understand the stove is hot. God deals with us in a reasonable way. Check it out. He says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Jesus wants to tell you the reasons behind this. There are concepts that this deals with. There are principles that are behind what Jesus asks us to do. His counsels are backed up by concepts. He asks us to be giving ourselves as living sacrifices because he knows that transforming our mind is what will benefit us. He knows that this concept will help us to understand why we're doing what we're doing. This idea of conforming or transforming. There are two options we have, you see, because every day we're changing, like it or not, we're changing. If you don't think so, try sprinting to your car when you leave today. See how that works for you. Yeah, exactly. Stuff happens along the way, you know? I don't think I could make it to my car right now if I had to sprint to my car. I think I'd pull something, break something, fall on something, or maybe even, well, my car's out there, let's see. So I might even run out of gas before I get there. I don't know. It would depend on how many bees were chasing me, I'll bet you. I remembered where it was at. That's a good thing, yeah. And so God has given us these two options, conforming or transforming. There is no middle ground. You are changing, period. Life changes. The church changes. The world around us changes. Everything changes. We have two choices here. We can conform or we can transform. It's interesting the choice that Paul made of these two words. because this word conform comes from a similar root to the word we get from schematic. It's kind of a pattern there that it is pushed into. And it's the same one where the King James actually still translates it as transformed, but it's a similar root to where it talks about the devil being transformed into an angel of light. And we can do that with the world. We're conformed to the world. We're pushed into that mold. We're made like that. Whereas the word transformed is the same root where we get our word metamorphosis. That complete change, that total difference. And it's also used in the New Testament elsewhere, but it's used with a different English word. It's the same word in Greek where we read that Jesus went onto the mount and was transfigured. So we have a choice. We can be pushed into the mold of the world, similar to the devil who tried to make himself like something else. Or we can be transformed into the likeness of Jesus. We have those two options. We used to redo houses back in California fairly often. And sometimes, depending on the house, there was some things you could do to it, you know? If it wasn't too bad, you could go around and you could, you know, fix like the little broken bezels around the light switches and repaint and put in new carpet or something, you know? And we called that lipstick on a pig. Lipstick on a pig. Because it was still a pig. We didn't change any wiring. We didn't change any plumbing. We didn't do any real changes to this thing. It was still a pig underneath. It was still a messed up house. But it looked a whole lot prettier. We didn't do too many of those. We'd get into the project and just keep, well, we need to do this. Well, we want to do that. Well, you know how it goes. And so there were some, though, that you could walk into just about. After you'd done it for a while, you could walk into them and say, yep, lipstick on a pig. And then there were others where they went in and basically gutted the house and rebuilt it from the ground up. Brothers and sisters, we need a rebuild. We don't need lipstick. We don't need to just look better. We need to be better. We need to be not conformed, we need to be transformed. We need to be not just made according to a schematic. We need to turn into butterflies from worms. A complete change. God wants to do that for us. God wants to change us entirely. And so we see Jesus and his love for us, his mercies for us, as the cause of why he has done this and what our response should be. We see his counsel telling us what to do, but there's reasons behind that. There is good concept behind that. And then the fourth C. There's consequences. And we like to think, or we often think, I guess, of consequences as being negative, but there can be positive consequences too, right? And so there are positive consequences to us in this case as well. Pick up verse 2 again. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You see, Jesus told us that as we followed him, he said, "You shall be witnesses to me," didn't he? as he was talking to the disciples in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. He said, you will be witnesses to me as we are doing what God has said, as we are looking at the wonderful things that he has done for us. And our hearts respond to that by listening to his counsel. We understand the concept and we follow Jesus. We're proving what God's case is in the great controversy, aren't we? Because the devil has said, these humans, they're beyond hope, man. They are hopeless. Has the devil ever tried to tell you you were hopeless? Don't listen. Because I'm reading here that we can be God's proof to the universe that God is good. That what he has to say to us is right. That he has told us and he is able. We sing a song about that, don't we? He's able. And Jude tells us he's able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before his throne. He can do these things. And so he is able to do this. He will do this. We are proving that he can do this, that he is the omnipotent God. But there's more to it. Because it says that we are proving that good and acceptable will of God. Yes? That good will. You see, this is good for us. You've heard the studies before that as we present our bodies a living sacrifice in what we take into them, that we are benefited with longer life. Yes? That as we follow those health principles, we have a better life. All of those things are clearly shown in the studies done out in Loma Linda and the blue zones we heard about in our Prophecies Decoded, right? All of those make sense. We understand that as we return our tithe to the Lord, we know that he will bless. He has told us he will open the windows of heaven. How does that happen, Lord? I'm not sure. I'm a little scared. I'm short this month. How am I? Do what I ask. Do what I ask. And see, prove me now. You see, God's in the proving business too, huh? Prove me now whether I won't pour out a blessing on you. There are consequences. This is good for us. God wants to do this. Let's see. Who knows better what kind of fuel to use in my car? My car or the manufacturer? That's pretty easy, huh? You see, God knows what's good for us. And he says, do this and live. God wants us to live. And so we have cause, we have counsel, we have concept, and we have consequence. Good consequence. And we don't always see these four laid out just like that, you know? We take a look at the Ten Commandments, for example, and we see, do this, don't do that, right? And sometimes we miss, or we don't think about the fact that God has blessed us so much already. And that's the cause of this counsel, and more than counsel, this command. And then he reasons with us. Come now, let us reason together, God says. He has concepts there for us. And then consequences. They are life to our bones, aren't they? Keeping God's commandments. They are joy to our hearts. Oh, taste, the psalmist says in Psalm 34:8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. It's not just that God says, okay, I won't burn you now because you did what I asked. He says, I will bless you because you have followed my counsel. This week, I want you to think about the goodness that God has given you. Think about that. Think about the response that you should have to that goodness that God has done in your life. How can you respond to His counsel? And then I want you to watch out for the consequences. And this is a good watching out. It's seeing that the Lord will keep His word, that He will do as He has said. And so this week, think about the cause. Consider His counsel, because there are good concepts there, aren't there? And then watch for the consequences of God's blessing. Beautiful.